And welcome back to the NLP of Money series. My name is Mr. 2020, and this is recording number 12 in the NLP of Money program, available at innercircleproducts.com. So, here we go. We're going to start today. This is a custom recording, and we're starting today with the concept of the trim tab. The trim tab in nautical design was used by Buckminster Fuller as a metaphor. And this is really, really appropriate when it comes to money, life, philosophy, how we look at life, and how we experience it, how we think about it. So a trim tab, I want you to think about the big bit. So the big bit is the boat. So the boat is in the water, and it heads into a direction. And we steer the direction of the boat is primarily determined by something we call the rudder. Now, the rudder, in a really small boat, if we had a small sailboat about 21 feet in length, we could probably just manually, adjust the rudder. In other words, we could just put our hands on the rudder or a stick that comes off the rudder and move the rudder back and forth and change it on a small boat. However, the bigger the boat, the bigger the rudder, which is pretty obvious. But if you begin to think about it, the rudder itself would encounter huge resistance to movement because of the momentum of the craft, basically the size of the craft and the speed that it's going at. So in order to change the position of a rudder, there's something called a trim tab, which is basically, it's on the trailing edge of the rudder. And so if you can imagine a rudder for the rudder, essentially, the trailing edge basically gets adjusted back and forth, and that adjusts, due to resistance and flow, the position of the rudder itself. So on a very large craft, which would have a tremendous amount of momentum behind it, we don't directly adjust the rudder. We adjust the trim tab, which adjusts the flow of the water around the rudder, which changes the position of the rudder itself. So that's where we're going to start this recording at. We want to think about the concept of trim tab and hold that in mind while we are exploring this special request for the NLP of money. So when we start out here, I'm just gonna bounce into the email tiny little bit. It starts out with the requester's done a lot of work already, and that's cool. We get to do a lot of work, and one of the benefits that comes from doing a lot of work on ourselves and in the world is noticing, that we get to learn about the concept of trim tabs and notice that in any, for example, when a clock works as well, when a clock is in motion, a tiny little bit of force or pressure, let's say, or a tiny little bit of attention placed on the right position on a clock will affect the movement, effectively stop the movement. So we want to just notice, where are we spinning our wheels? Where are we pushing too much? Where is the energy going? So I'm going to just spiral around and come in here a little bit. Okay, just bouncing through here for a few seconds. Part of the request is, I really see myself still struggling with the beliefs born in this. It's no joke when I say I take the hard way. And I can again and again see the belief that survival, yada, yada, yada. A lot of hard stuff. I can go down here a little bit more. What's really, really cool with this, as we explore the patterns behind stuff like this, we just get to notice, let's drop back to a presupposition, just sort of wiggling back a little bit here. So let's presuppose that we can offer two things to an equation. I'm learning this as a healer. It's a basic lesson, but it's a pretty strong one, and it also comes down to money as well. We can offer two things, attention and energy. Some of the most amazing healers I know really understand this. Some of the most amazing people I know in the world of money get this as well. I'm going to drop back to Tim Ferriss. Again, I'm dropping back a lot. Yeah, basically backing up a tiny little bit into the recordings we have already. And just inviting you to do the same as you listen to this one. So attention and energy. You know, Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Workweek, was literally working more than he was living early on in his life. And you know, basically, if you're working 80 hours plus a week, that's one equation. That's one thing you can go. If you want to make more money, you put in more energy, you put in more time. And there's nothing wrong with putting in energy or time. But we also get to notice attention. And one of the things which Tim has brought attention to is the fact that we can make a decent amount of money without having to trade off most of our life, time. And we part of the way that we do that is literally changing the way in which we put attention on stuff. So, as a healer, again, back and forth a little bit here, we can work on two ways with people. One, attention, two, energy. Some of the best body workers I know do very, very little work. Some of the best healers generally that I know do very, very little work. Work defined as the expenditure of energy. But what they have the capacity to do is to notice where the attention needs to be put and how to put the attention on a specific area. So let's talk about the feeling of trapped. You know, as I read through emails, and I notice generally with this, and specifically with this kind of request as well, with these recordings, when we're trapped, energy tends to become the focus. And when we become liberated, it's literally because of a shift in attention. And that's a big part of what I want to explore today. So as we go back to the metaphor of the trim tab, literally we could try to reposition the boat in the ocean. In other words, pick the boat up, drop it down again in a different area. That would require a pretty huge skyhook. On the other hand, we can try to adjust the rudder. And if we're in a small craft, we can adjust the rudder directly. But if we're out in the middle of the ocean, odds are we're not in a small craft. And so again, we want to think of that metaphor of the trim tab, the trailing edge of the rudder. And whenever you turn the wheel in a large ocean vessel, it literally just adjusts the trim tab. And the trim tab is basically the rudder of the rudder, that tiny little bit at the end. And when the trim tab turns, the pressure on both sides of the rudder changes, and it's that pressure that optimizes the position of the rudder so that the correct flow can happen right there. So, for the trim tab, we want to consider attention to be our trim tab. So, let's just dive in and have a little bit of fun with some of the notes that I've got here. We'll bounce back and forth into the email, back and forth into some content here. So, attention has multiple facets. Let's think diamond. You know, if you have a diamond without facets, it really, it's not all that impressive to look at. When we think of attention, we want to notice, again, attention has multiple facets. The first three, again, the basic bits, attention can be placed on content, spin, and action. So those are the first three. Content basically is what we focus on. Spin is the spin that we add to it. In other words, let's say the kind of attention. And action is basically what begins to be generated naturally from the attention. So we've got content, spin, and action, which is what the attention tends to focus on. Action also is what do we do? You know, it's good to have an intention, let's say to plant a rose in the garden, but we've got to have an action behind that. So let's break down into content a little bit more details here. So content, okay, again, attention. Attention is three subsets: content, spin, and action. So let's play with content a little bit. Content is noticing the what. We can notice the roses, we can notice the weeds. Both are useful to notice in the garden. So we notice the what. The what can be what do we want to do with money. The money could be money itself. The money could be the concept of wealth. We just get to notice the what. And it's important to notice what your attention goes to. Again, attention gets conditioned. And so literally, the more we focus on problems, the more problems we discover. The more we focus on thorns, the more thorns we discover. On the other hand, we can choose to focus on possibilities. We can choose to focus on what's emerging. We can choose to focus on, literally, if I focused on a problem, problem is I don't have any sales today. If I focus on the possibility of sales, then I get to take action on getting sales. Again, we're shifting through here a little bit. So the content, am I focusing on lack of sales or the possibility of sales? So the what that I focus on is pretty important. Shifting a little bit more, okay, I can notice the when. So when we're focusing on content, we get to notice the what. Sales, no sales. Got it. I get to notice the when. When am I focusing? Am I focusing on the past, the present, or the future? You know, it's funny to notice this bit because, you know, some people, they literally focus, they fantasize a lot on the past, they fantasize a lot on the future. And really, the present really is the only area where we can really engage content. Present emerging into future tends to be pretty good. We'll be getting to that in a bit. And we're getting to that right now because that's the way it works. You know, literally, being the man now I choose to become. You know, that's huge. You know, choosing to do something to become the man later is one thing. Being the man now I choose to become, you know, literally it affects what I eat and how much I eat. It's okay to have a cookie. It's probably not okay to have a dozen cookies for breakfast. So being the man now I choose to become, I choose to become healthier. I choose to also enjoy the sweetness that life has to offer. So I can have a cookie instead of 12 cookies, by being the man now I choose to become. If I choose to become healthier later, that means I have to struggle now with breakfast and focus on the future and deprive myself of now. Or I can simply be the man now I choose to become. I can do a couple push-ups, I can eat my cookie, I can enjoy the blessings that I have now while holding in mind how I choose to have those emerge into my life later. You know, if I have no cookies, I deprive myself of the cookies. If I have a tiny little bit of cookie, again, that contributes to my enjoyment now and my enjoyment later. And if you've been listening to the recording series, one of the things that you notice is I'm a real fan of David Hawkins' levels of consciousness chart. You can find that online or on Power versus Force or email. I can get you a copy of the chart. One of the things which is beautiful is literally how you define God is, in a way, how you define Yule. And if you look on the chart, joy is toward the top of the box, which is pretty good. On the other hand, misery is toward the bottom of the box. And, you know, we really don't have to be miserable, even though that's probably one of the biggest addictions out there. So, content. Again, we started out with this concept of the trim tab. We actually started out as well with this concept of we can put energy or attention into any equation. And literally, one of the things that you can notice as people become more masters of their craft, the quality of their attention determines a tremendous amount of what they do. It's not just working hard, it's actually, there's an elegance that comes with learning about attention. So let's go from content. Again, we talk about three elements of attention. We've got content, spin, and action. So spin, when we focus on spin, you know, there's a lot of, there's a nice little focus in the email that I got here. This is really tremendous because I do want to bring this up because I appreciate there's a tremendous amount of good bits here. So let me get it. It's coming. There's a tremendous amount of authors listed here. Oh yeah, here we go. Some good ones. Neville Goddard, Ernest Holmes, Joel Goldsmith, Jonathan Randolph, Price, Catherine Ponder, Eric Butterworth, and many others have allowed me to experience the height, the depth, the joy, love, and peace. Cool. You know, literally, as we discover and explore new thought, which is generally where those authors are categorized at, we get to remember that we're planting seeds. You know, there's a whole number of people here. So we talk about it's good to put positive into us and avoid putting negative into us. You know, I'm not a big fan of the news because the news pretty much is repetitive tragedy. Again, it's a nice way. News and marketing are probably two of the most interesting ways which we can keep programming ourselves with repetitive tragedy or lack. You know, this is the tragedy thing. This is, you know, if you buy this product, then everything will be hunky-dory in your life. But if we notice, Neville, Ernest Holmes, Joel Goldsmith, Jonathan Randolph Price, Catherine Ponder, Eric Butterworth, all these other bits, what's really nice is we get to realize that exposing ourselves to these, it's not just about positive versus negative. It really is about putting new possibilities in our life. Get back to my notes here. So when we talk about spin, Okay, we get to, notice this. At a beginning level, we talked about double binds earlier. And a double bind basically is an either-or kind of decision where there's actually multiple choice. If we think either-or, we go less news, more Butterworth. Less news, more Neville Goddard. Less news, more David Hawkins. And that's good because we're basically limiting, let's say, stuff that causes us to leak and putting in more of stuff that basically supports us, stuff that's more supportive. What's really nice, so when we go from spin, we go from positive to negative. We also get to notice, again, from David's levels of consciousness chart, power levels. Now, what's nice, as you explore different authors and different tiny little bits of putting, let's say, positive stuff in you, we did a tiny little exercise a long time ago with the Yellow Pages, where we take two or three concepts out of the Yellow Pages and just combine them as a way to exercise the mind as far as combining different concepts and thoughts together. I forget the one that we did for this one, Rehab Center. I got it, but I don't got it. But, literally, if you start putting in multiple inputs of good stuff, Ernest Holmes has a really good spin on some bits, so does Neville Goddard. Slightly different, but very similar. Same with Catherine Ponder. You start putting in some different kinds of good bits, and literally your mind starts to combine these things. So, training your mind to combine, your mind's combining things anyway. That's one of the reasons why we talk about, if we're not fully utilizing our mind, tasking it towards combining it for productivity and positivity, and even beyond that, to possible. What's possible when I combine? I've got three things on my desk right now I'm looking at. I've got my mobile phone, cigars, and a coffee cup. And so when I look at mobile phone, cigars, and a coffee cup, I begin to wonder, is there an iPad or an iPhone application out there to help people find a nice place to have a cup of coffee and a cigar nearby? It would probably take me $50 to $100 to hire a coder to put together coffee and cigars, a little application that basically helps you find a place where you can smoke cigars and drink a cup of coffee. And find it on your iPad. So my next question is, as I just look at the desktop here, and I consider possibility, because if I just sit here and I consider possibility, not positive or negative, we're moving from positive and negative to possibility, possibility combines things that haven't been combined before. So I look at the phone and I think iPhone, iPad application. I look at the cigars and I go, I enjoy a good smoke and a nice cup of coffee. And so if I just look at those and let those combine a little bit, and notice, I can't code for an iPad application, but I know where to look online to find a coder that will cost me $50 to $100, and maybe I'll do that in the next month for something to do. Because all I got to do is sell 50 copies of the app, and I break even if I spend $50 on a coder. So, what I get to do is spend 25 minutes or so, or get my buddy Dale to spend 25 minutes to find out, is there an app that does that, that points out where you can smoke a cigar and have a cup of coffee. And I figure there's probably at least 50 people in the world that would buy it. And then I have to figure out how to input it, which probably wouldn't be all that hard. I can figure out, talk to the coder, see if he's got an idea to pull up a database of places where you can buy cigars at that have a coffee shop. Probably wouldn't be all that hard to find. And go from there. And also allow user input. So if you find it, you can put it in. So again, a couple tiny little bits on my desk while engaging possibility thinking, not positive thinking. But possibility thinking isn't possible without having a positive spin at first. Again, just notice those bits. So this is where we get to play. Again, what we want to notice is we've got the capacity for conception to occur in the mind. We put in goody stuff, and the goody stuff gets to combine on its own. And the goody stuff combines on its own once we start engaging levels of power, which is where I want to move next. So we talk about attention having multiple facets. The first is content. What we focus on and when we focus on it are the first two bits with that. Again, past, present, future. By the way, we can get stuck in the past. Oh my God, something happened in my past. Something happened in somebody else's past. I mean, there was a Great Depression of 1929. What if it happens again? Well, if it happens again, hey, there's not much we can do about it except live with it, right? On the other hand, we can get stuck in the future by taking anybody's past, projecting it into our future, and then get stuck there. Or we can literally, again, we covered this a tiny little bit, playing with it now. We can have present emerging into future. And the present emerging into future basically is we can dig the hole, plant the rose, have the intention around it, take care of it, put love into it, and let it grow. So, excuse me, levels of power. So we talked about spin from positive to negative to possibility. As we're exploring power levels at this point in time, again, this is cool stuff. If we look at the original email, I start to pull these little bits out. The original email involved a lot of trust, literally sharing with another human being. And often that's the first step, sharing where we've been. And notice I'm not sharing where I'm at, because as we share where we're at, that tends to evolve. So literally bringing trust to the equation as we're sharing where we've been up till a millisecond ago literally starts to liberate us. So this is why in native cultures, and I was just on the phone with someone the other day exploring this, in native cultures, when the young men came back from war, they had a council, and you'd sit down, and the warriors got to really just share the hell and the horror of the war, and just totally let it out. And the community was there to support them. You know, no judging, no poor meing, just the community was there to listen. And part of the thing was sharing with another human being. That's the first step. And as soon as that sharing can really, really happen, the transformation begins. That's part of the magic. If we look on David Hawkins' levels of power, you know, on the chart, we notice trust is just above the level of integrity. So as we start to engage power through trust, sharing with another human being, literally we're evolving in that moment. Now if we drop down to blame, guilt, shame, all that stuff, we devolve immediately. It's your fault, it's my fault, all that stuff. On the other hand, if we have an intention, and that intention is more peace, more prosperity, more joy, more forgiving, giving being a huge thing, more willingness to do what it takes to just now, you know, be the man now I choose to become. Be the woman now you choose to become. Be the wealth that you choose to become. Again, I sit here dynamically just going, you know what, there could be room for a coffee and cigars app for the iPad. Yeah, I'll look that up while I'm here in the States and see what I can engage with it. Something to do. Because it's the little bits like that that tend to, you know, do well. And again, who knows if I create an iPad application, you know, maybe that'll be what I do for half my income next year. Because, you see, here's the thing. A lot of people I know won't sell on eBay because they haven't. A lot of people confuse can't with haven't. So, again, as I look through the primary requesting email and some others in the series here, I'm always primarily focusing on one, but including others. So, because we've all got related issues. And here's one of the bits. When I say I can't create an iPad application, that's not true. I haven't. I can't do the coding, but I haven't created an iPad application yet. There was a point years ago where I was making HTML websites, which is one way to make a website, and then I decided to hire that out to free up my time so I could focus on production, which is what I love to do. My web designer kept telling me to learn WordPress. I wasn't interested in that. That's another way to create a website. At this point, you know, almost a decade later, I'm a WordPress guru, pretty much. Why? Because I went from, you know, haven't, well, literally, I went from can't, I can't do WordPress, to realizing I haven't done WordPress, to now, yeah, you know what, I have done it. And I've done it enough to the point where I'm pretty darn good at it. And so we can move through those stages. Literally, we go from can to cannot to can to have. You know what, I've done that. So we move back a tiny little bit to the level of trust, sharing with another human being. After we share with another human being, after we, and again, there can be other ways of engaging the power of trust. But trust starts before intention. Because once we start to trust, you know, literally, if we notice that, yes, the universe, God, you, there's trust inherent in that. Once we start to engage trust, then we can start to have intention. Without trust, intention doesn't work because we can't even trust our intentions. So we get to experience trust, then intention. So literally, As part of the homework at this point in the course, what I'd suggest that everyone do, find ways to play with trust. One of the easiest ways is to share with another human being, what do you got going on? And notice as you share it, it immediately starts to evolve. So trust is one of the first steps to really opening up. Pretty cool. And then we get to become clear about intentions. And again, you know, part of the early intention gets to be, again, we're talking about attention as well as intention at this point. Part of our intention can involve, you know what, optimizing our attention. Because it's not just enough to intend to make more money or to be more wealthy or whatever. But literally, any decision I make, and this is part of the current exploration, from what I can tell, my primary area of free will is, where do I come from when doing anything? Where do I come from when making this recording? Where do I come from when asking Victoria to sit in with me while I make the recording? Where do I come from? Am I coming from a level of power? Yeah, which includes trust, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, peace, joy? Or am I coming from another area at the bottom of the chart? In any decision, we can come from either or. Even on a sentence-by-sentence basis, I can share something out of guilt. I can hold back sharing out of fear. I can share something out of desire, hoping that you'll buy more products. And I hope you do. But if the primary spin is, you know, I desire, yeah, that puts the power outside of both of us. And I'd rather welcome the power home. And so I share with an area of willingness to share where I'm at, what I've got going on, with trust, with an intention to contribute to your life and to mine. So, let's talk about natural state and spin. So again, with attention, we've got three bits that we're exploring. Attention is the trim tab. Energy, let's say, is the rudder itself. And yeah, you know what? We get to put energy into our lives. It takes energy to make this recording. But before the energy of making the recording, I get to basically work with my attention and my intention. So let's talk about natural state. Your natural state, from what I can tell, is toward the top of David's chart, which includes peace, love, joy, forgiveness, acceptance, willingness, all that good stuff, trust. One of the neat things is that our culture tells us that our natural state is one of guilt, shame, fear, anger, desire, pride, all those bits. And literally, if we watch enough news or pay attention to enough marketing, we begin to almost feel like our natural state is down at the bottom. But from what I can tell, look at a baby. A baby in its natural state is joyful, it's peaceful. When it gets hungry, okay, yeah, it reaches out. But generally, a babe, generally nature, is at peace. When I teach people how to live in the woods in harmony with nature, we notice that there's a peaceful, loving, joyfulness to nature. Just looking at a photo of nature has that inherent in it. So what I want you to do is I want you to consider your natural state not as one as having to rise up to peace or rise up to wealth or rise up to forgiveness or rise up to integrity. All we've got to do is stop sinking. If you think of floating, again, let's just notice naturally. If I lay back in the pool, I go out and jump in Diamonddale's pool. If I just lay back, I'll float. If I start thrashing around like a lunatic, I'll sink. So all I have to do is lay back and allow the floating to occur. The natural state, if you think about this, the wealthiest people in the world tend to live near water. They tend to enjoy time tremendously. And people say, well, they can do that because they've already made their money. Maybe, maybe not. But from what I can tell, the wealthiest people I know understand their natural state is one of trusting that they have what it takes and trusting that the universe provides them opportunities, just like I've got in front of me, again, spontaneously, the phone, the cigars, the coffee. There's an opportunity for me to hack at that and see what's possible. And in the other room, there's an iPad, so I can see in about 5 minutes if there is something about finding a coffee and cigar shop. Again, it wouldn't take much. What's really cool, I'm looking on the iPad. If you don't have one, I think they're absolutely fabulous. There's an application to find yard sales. Somehow this thing pulls data off of Craigslist and other things here in the States that enables you to find yard sales. They show up on a map. And if they can do that with yard sales, I'm sure they can do it with coffee and cigar joints. Just got to find out. And if you steal that idea, by the way, you can do that. Take it if you want to. I'll find another idea. There'll be three other things in front of me that I'll pull from and potentially create something from. Because the third bit, with attention, involves action. So we talked about content, what we focus on. That includes the what I focus on. Do I focus on negative or positive? And once I get out of that double bind, I get to focus on possibility. Do I focus on the past, the future, the present, or the present emerging into the future? Again, being the man now I choose to become. And the third little bit, moving through that, well, we move through spin. We talked about that as well. Our natural state. Yeah, you know, we don't have to rise up. All we have to do is stop sinking. Okay, not hard. That's the problem. It's not hard. The third bit, action. Creative waves and creative weaves. I've already been demonstrating that during the recording. Again, I noticed the bits in front of me. When we're thinking action, you know, one of the things that we can do is we can notice spontaneous creation, virgin birth. You know, literally, we talk about soil, and we discover that we can create soil right at the from the edge of our home. There's a little creek, and there's lots of silt, and we can gather some of that and some other bits and create soil. Literally, when we create soil, we take some of what we got, and some other of what we got, and some other of what we've got. And we create and we mix it in a way that it hasn't been mixed before. And suddenly, there's new promise and new potential. Here's the thing. Your eyes are a few inches apart, maybe three. Your ears are maybe five or six. From tip to tip, I'm 6 foot approximately, less than 2 meters. And I'm fairly predictable. Most people are fairly predictable. And the more predictable you are, the more predictable your thinking is, the more pressure you're going to be under. And the less flow you get to experience. On the other hand, if we're always noticing what's possible and noticing what's out there, you know, back in the old days, we got to take what we learned, these wonderful stories from people like Joel Goldsmith and Catherine Ponder. I love the names, by the way. Joel Goldsmith. Yeah, there's gold in there. Catherine Ponder. My one buddy, that Forex trader's name is Lance Freeman. Fascinating. There's power in our names. What name do you choose to have? We've talked about money names in these recordings. What's your money name? My one buddy was Easy Come, Easy Go. And he's evolving through that into something else. What's your money name? Don't just, notice quickly, thin slice what your money name is. But notice, too, you can adopt a new money name. Adopting new names, as we work through action here, again, all this is related. The two of the biggest contributors to the culture of North America, which from what I can tell, the culture of the United States, North America, contributes to the whole world. Good, bad, ugly, pretty, I don't care. But think about this. The culture of North America is primarily based on Native American energy and traditions, as well as Hebrew traditions, basically passed down through the Christian church. I mention it because in both of those traditions, in the Native traditions of North America and elsewhere in the world, and as well as in the Hebrew traditions, people changed their names when their minds changed, when their experience of reality changed. There was often a name change. This happened with the apostles in the Bible. It happened in the Old Testament. It happened with every Native culture that I've been exposed to. So, what's your money name? We get to notice these tiny little bits. And again, the way we hold ourselves with money, the way we hold ourselves with what we do, a lot of it is in the name that we bring into our lives. So, action, creative ways and creative waves, you know. We get to be creative in what we do. We really do. We get to notice what we're creating. And if we're thinking in the same processes, the same patterns, the same strategies every day, we're probably going to be creating the same crap. There was a study done years ago, which is pretty cool. They actually, this started out with foster kids. And literally, there were families that they noticed that created mentally ill foster kids. You could take psychologically healthy children, place them in, with specific families. We'll just call them the Smiths and the Joneses. And literally, the Smiths would produce schizophrenics and the Joneses would produce another diagnosis. Literally, they noticed that there were certain families, or actually specific families, that would literally create mentally ill children. Now, what's interesting is if the family dynamic does that, we do that to ourselves. You know, literally, if we can choose to start to think differently, we can put, literally, what if Joel Goldsmith, what if Freeman, what if Ponder, what if these Butterworth, fascinating name again. What if you started making these people your family as well? And literally, you get to bring them into your life, and that ripples into your family's life. Why? Because you choose to become now the man you choose to become. Literally, surrounding yourself with these energies, bringing them in, gradually changes you. Think about this. You plant the flower. It doesn't instantly look like the end result. It emerges into that. And literally, this is part of the process. If you try to push it, you end up with a mess. So we just let it naturally grow, and we support it. It's good to water the rose. It's good to fertilize the rose. But we can't force it. We have to let it blossom on its own time. You get to let you blossom on your own time. And so let's head a tiny little bit more into the trim tab bits. Again, attention. Attention is directed. Energy goes where attention is placed. And so we get to withdraw our attention. We can practice what are called denials. We can withdraw our attention from crap. And we can start putting our attention on possibility. One of the ways we can do that, and this is pretty huge, as we read works like Goldsmith and Ponder and so on and so forth, Butterworth, one of the things we can do is we can start to ask questions. And we can ask questions, you know, like they would ask. We can notice the questions that they ask in their readings. And we can also start to model our own questions after those. Literally, I look at the desktop and I go, what's possible with what's on the desktop dynamically while I'm talking to you? And I get the thing about a potential iPad application. So, things that we can ask, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to money, when it comes to love and life, what else can I do? What can I do differently? What else can I think of? What can I think about differently? How can I think differently? We tend to do things the same so much, whether it's driving to work the same way, going through the store the same way. Think about this. Next time you go shopping, when you go to the shops, enter through another door. Most shops have more than one door. And if you enter into the shops, go to the opposite side of the store where you end up at and start there and work toward the beginning. Or work in the middle and work out. Literally like a spiral going, you could start at the middle aisle and go to the aisle on the left, the aisle on the right, and work out a little bit further and a little bit further. Play with these bits. It may not be the most quote-unquote economical time in the store, but I guarantee you'll see and experience things differently. You know, what happens when you choose to experience things differently? When you choose to experience anything differently, you start to experience everything differently. And again, it's not just negative or positive, but it's possibility. What else could this possibly mean? Back when I had the PTSD thing going on, a lot of things were perceived as a threat. Under any kind of pressure, we tend to perceive things as a threat. And we tend to perceive people as things, and money as things. On the other hand, if we start to engage possibility, one of the things, quote-unquote, that we get to notice is how alive everything is. You know, literally, the person who gives birth to the iPad application of cigars and coffee, if it's done well, they've given birth to something that takes on a life of its own. What are you going to give birth to? That's, again, where we get to play. What are you going to give birth to? You can start to give birth to something different. You can start to give birth to something with possibility. And again, just because I haven't done an iPad application doesn't mean I can't. I remember when I first put, I have these old ancient DVDs. What I used to do was sell them on eBay as VHS videos. I had a stack of VH video recorders connected by the good gold cables. And I just burn stacks of videos and sell them on eBay. Then I learned I could do that on my own websites. And then I learned that I could do DVDs because they could go throughout the world a lot easier. DVDs ship better than VHS videos. And you can play them on computers throughout the world. So then my market got bigger. And then I realized, years later, I could just put them up on Amazon.com and let Amazon produce them, ship them, sell them, and send me money. What can I do differently? There's something huge there. these NLP of money custom recordings. You know, I could produce 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 recordings and then sell them as a crash course package. But doing it as a response, doing it involving your requests, doing it involving your stories, your input, doing it overtly, doing it a little bit covertly. And by covertly, I mean, you know, it's nice to notice how people think. You'll hear in all the recordings that you know, I'm addressing how people think, not just what they think about, but how people think. And as I explore how you think, I get to learn a new way of thinking. And as I discover a new way of thinking, I get to experience the world full of much more possibilities. It's not just what I think about, but how I think. It's not just what you think about, but how you think. So, tiny little bit more just from the recording, and I'll close it up here. So in my real world, rubber hits the road, life, and I do not embody, believe in, or experience the principles that I've experienced in the silent mountaintop of my meditation and prayers. I still live experiencing compromise, sacrifice, so on and so forth. So I want to toss this out. Tiny little shifts in language can help you notice a lot. So in my real world, day to day, I do not. That brings it into the present. So in my real world, rubber hits the road. I have not completely believed in or experienced the principles. That tiny little shifts. Honestly, it's almost impossible. It's easy. The mind can do three things. It can delete, it can distort, and it can do something else. It can do what's called generalization. In my real world, I do not. We all know that's BS. Because if that didn't happen, gosh, you know, the email wouldn't have been possible. So in my real world, I tend to not fully embody or believe in. That'd be one way to put it. So in my real world, I haven't completely embodied, believed in, or experienced. We get to notice our limitations honestly, just a tiny little bit more honestly, and put them in the past. So in my real world today, you know what I'm choosing? I'm choosing to embody just a tiny bit more, or believe in a tiny bit more, or trust a tiny bit more. Tiny bits, that's the trim tab. If we just add that phrase on, you know what? Today I'm going to be a tiny bit more trusting, a tiny bit more open, a tiny bit more threatened. Ooh, a tiny bit less threatened. Another tiny bit here. So when we say a tiny bit less anything, the focus is still on threatened. If I say a tiny bit less apprehensive, the focus is still on apprehensive. This is not in the original email. Just some bits to toss in, though. So what we want to notice is we want to make distinctions towards something. So in my real world, I tend today, I trust today a little bit more. I'm willing to do a tiny bit more. I'm willing to look at the world a tiny bit differently. Saying I don't want to do it the same focuses on the same. That keeps the drug at the center of the universe. It's been 72 days, 16 minutes, 13 seconds since I've done heroin. Yeah, right. Versus, you know what? I've had 72 days of freedom. 72 days of freedom focuses on freedom, focuses on possibility. Focusing on, I didn't have any sales today. Well, that doesn't help anything. Focusing on how I can generate sales today, how I can share. Who can I share my message with? Who can I share what I'm doing with? Again, that starts to engage things a little bit. Again, the tiny power of trim tab questions. And again, the trim tab sets the direction of the rudder sets the direction of the boat. So with anything, we want to put our energy into it. We've talked very little bit about energy today, but we've explored what sets the stage for energy tremendously. So if energy is the boat, the rudder, oh, those can be our thoughts. Our thinking, the trim tab, gets to be the thinking, the trim tab, the thinking, the attention. A tiny little shift of attention can change how we think, what we think about, and the actions that we take. So there's some tiny little bits. Let me see if there's anything else I want to toss in here. Yeah, my tendency of late is to manifest hard work and the need to work harder. Excellent. Nice. So, my tendency of late has been to manifest hard work. If we're not manifesting it in the moment, here's one of the coolest bits when I'm doing coaching live. When someone says, you know, what I'm doing is this. Sorry, I'll ask them, are you doing that right now? I'll say, well, no, I'm talking about it right now. Okay, so then talk about it as if it's in the past. Because even if it's in the recent past, it's in the past. So, my tendency of late has been to manifest hard work and the need to work harder. Okay, I haven't been getting ahead versus I'm not getting ahead. I haven't been. And here we go. Here's a shift into the present. But I'm creating an opportunity to work. So, I'm creating the opportunity to receive more. I'm creating the opportunity to be even more creative. And if we go back a recording or two, there's some really good bits around that. So there's a whole bunch of bits. I do want to thank you for listening. I want to thank the requester for requesting the recording. And again, my name is Mr. 2020. Keep tuning in to the NLP of Money series. We'll be adding more recordings to this up until everyone that requests by December 25th. I'll be making custom recordings for them. And the size of the package will probably grow to about the new year, roughly, whenever all those recordings get finished. So that's it. Tell your friends. Send them over. And it's a great package, obviously. Have a wonderful day. My name is Mr. 2020. Visit us at innercircleproducts.com. See ya.